All right, Rabbi, say good morning. A lot to do today. Today's daf is Chaf Beis. We are picking up on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, the two dots. Rabbi Yeshua says, literally, the middle of Amud Beis. Okay, so we have a lot to do today. Rabbi got a little sidetracked yesterday with other conversations. So Rabbi Yeshua Omer Ratzi Isha. Remember, Rabbi Yeshua said in the Mishnah that a woman, his lashon in the Mishnah was, Rotze Isha Bekav V'Tiflus Mites Kabinu Prishus, which literally means a woman would want a kav. A kav is a measurement, and tiflus, intimacy, for 9 kavin and abstinence. So what does this mean? Says the Gemara, my kamar, hachi kamar, this is what it means to say, Rotze Isha Bekav V'Tiflus Imo Mitisha Kabinu Prishus. What Rabbi Yeshua is saying is a fascinating idea, that a woman would rather have less material things and a greater intimate life with her husband than less material things, than more material things, and abstinence. We'll say, understand, Rabbi Yeshua is not just talking over here from a sexual nature. Rabbi Yeshua is talking about, again, that men and women need very different things out of relationships. And a woman would rather have greater connection with her husband and less money than more money and less of a connection. So the Gemara goes weiter. Hu haya omer chasid shota. So we'll say now, the Gemara says, remember, the Mishnah speaks about the concept of a chasid shota. A pious fool. So the Gemara says, "Hey, Hidami Chasid Shota." What's the? And we'll say, just so you should know, it's an interesting thing. Just okay, I can't afford to get any tangents today. But that's Dibur Rabbi Yehoshua is an incredible yisod in Shalom Bayis. See, often men think that the quality that their rating as a husband depends on what they buy their wife. If I buy my wife a nice present for anniversary, for birthday, mamish, I'm good. We'll say, so it's a rookie mistake. Mm-hmm. Every husband knows, yes, the presents are important. There's no question. A person has to go ahead and show his love for his wife in a manner that shows love in a very tangible way. I will say, at the end of the day, for most women, there are exceptions to this, but very often what a woman wants to know in a marriage is that she has her husband's love and that she has her husband's attention. Husbands often think that they could go ahead and kind of get away with just giving stuff or going places, but at the end, that's what Rabbi Yehoshua is saying. You don't understand. What a woman would rather have is her husband's know that she is the center of her husband's universe. Know that she's the most important fixture in her husband's life. She would even do with a little bit less material things if she had that emotional treasure. It's an incredible yisod. So Gemara goes weiter. What's a chasid shota? Hey, chidami chasid shota. Kegon dekatava isesa benara va'amra lav orech ara listakuli ba va'atzula. So what's a chasid shota? Someone who sees a woman drowning in the water and says, oh, I would save her, but it's not snius, right? It's not snius to go ahead and look at her, to touch her. Michael Langbaum emailed me an article yesterday. This mamish just happened in Dubai, right? The mamish just happened. It was in the news. Father let his daughter drown rather than be saved from a group of strange men. In any event, hey chidami Rasha Arum. I will say, what's the example of a Rasha Arum? Rasha Arum literally is a cunning Rasha. So what's a cunning Rasha? Amar Rabbi Yochanan zehamatim devarav ladayin kodim shiyavo baldin chavero. This is someone who goes ahead and... Yeah, don't look that up on your phones right now. It's I don't mean you. I'm sorry. Yeah. Our side is banned in Dubai. Okay, so fine. Well, we have the rest of the Emirates. No, we'll be all right. So says the Gemara. So what's a Rasha Arum? Zehamatim devarav ledayim kodim shiyavo baldin chavero. So we'll say, what's a cunning Rasha? A cunning Rasha is someone ultimately who comes to court early to advance his position to the judge before the other litigant gets there. Because we'll say, you know, the way it works is that he slants the din. The idea over here is when you go ahead and you're judging a case, now the judge is not allowed to do this also, but if the litigant shows up early and just starts talking, it's going to influence the judge. Rabbi Abba Omer, Zanosin Ani Ladinar, Zanosin Dinar La'ani, La'ashun Lomasayim Zos. What's a cunning Rasha? We'll say, this is amazing. This is someone who just gives literally a dinar, you know, a nickel to an ani, to put him over the 200 zuz threshold. What does that mean? Disnan mishi yishlo masayim zuz lo yito leket shechecha upeo maiser ani. But I'll say, it's interesting. There is a financial threshold that you have to be below in order to collect the tithes for the poor. So in order to collect, for example, leket shechecha upeo, which are all the agricultural tzedakas, all the agricultural charities, you have to have in your possession less than 200 zuz. So if you have an ani that has, you know, 199 zuz, and some guy gives him a zuz for tzedakah. That's a Rasha Aram, the Gemara says. That's a cunning Rasha. Because at the end of the day, look, if you're going to give the guy tzedakah, give him tzedakah. But to go ahead and give him enough tzedakah just to push him over the threshold, and thereby he loses his ability to go ahead and collect the agricultural tithes, that's rishus. So the Gemara says, if he had a 200 zuz minus a dinar, so again, if he has less than 200 zuz, even if just 5 minutes later people are going to give him another 1,000 zuz, at that moment he's permitted to go ahead and collect the agricultural tithes. Rabbi Yasi, Rabbi Yochanan, Zamasi eats a limb carbon nechasim mu'atim. So what's the definition of a Rasha Arum, of a cunning Rasha? This is someone who gives the Eitzah, the counsel, to go ahead and to inheritors to sell a small amount of assets. Now, also, now what is this case? If you look quickly at Rashi, Rashi says minchasim mu'atim disnan. Here's the halacha. If a man dies and leaves behind an estate, so under normal circumstances, sons inherit the estate, but daughters, unmarried daughters, are supported by the estate. What happens if, however, the father leaves only a very little bit of property? What's the halacha under those circumstances? Under those circumstances, the halacha is the daughters get supported from the estate, and the sons, they need it. Literally, the Gemara says that they need to beg, let them go beg. In other words, they're not supported by the estate. Supposedly, listen to this. So what's a Rasha Arum? A Rasha Arum is someone who advises the sons to go ahead and sell off the property right after the father's death. Dam Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yochanan, Yusomim Shekadmu Umachru Benechasim Mu'atin, Mashemachru Machru. Because Bas Rabbi Yochanan says that as much as the sons are not allowed to sell off the property, but if they did sell off the property, then what? Then what? The sale is valid. So it's a way for the sons to circumvent, again, the law, the inheritance law. Amr Abaye says, what's an example of a Rasha Arum, a cunning Rasha? Zamasi eitz alim kar benechasim ki Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. This is someone ultimately who gives advice to go out and sell off property like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. The Sanya, we're supposed to listen to this case. Nechasi lach. So imagine the following situation. I say to Reuven, when I die, my property goes to you. But v'acharecha leploni. But Reuven, when you die, I want the property to pass on to Shimon. And what happens? So I die, my property goes to Reuven. V'yarat harishon u'machar v'achal. Reuven sells the property, which was against, that wasn't what I wanted, but Reuven sells the property, and he spends all of the money that he made from the sale. Hasheni motzi miyadav l'chuv osev Rebbe. So we'll say, so the halacha is, Rebbe holds, that when Reuven dies, Shimon has the ability to go ahead and extract the property from the purchasers from Reuven. Why? Because since Shimon had a lien against the property, when Reuven dies, Shimon has the right to take it. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no, ein l'sheni ela masha shir rishon. Sorry, it's not true. Even though, again, my instructions were that Shimon gets whatever is left after Reuven dies, Shimon only gets what is left after Reuven dies. And in this case, what happened? There's nothing left after Reuven dies, therefore Shimon gets nothing. Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama, Amar Rav Sheshes, Zamachriya Achirin Bar Chosav. What's the definition of a Rasha Arum, of a cunning Rasha? This is someone who tries to encourage other people to act like him. Rashi says, Hamachriya Achirin Bar Chosav, Re'u Va'asu Kamoni. See how I act and do what I do. L'chu Bidrachai, Lones Kavein Ze'el Laharos Atzmo Kichased Be'eni Abrios. Such a person is only trying to look pious in the eyes of others. Ve'ein tocho kibaro. And ultimately, he's not as holy on the inside as he projects himself to be on the outside. Ella shelo yidaktiku acharav livdok b'tovosav. Sometimes people go ahead and put on an external display of policy. People put on an external display of piety in order that others should not investigate what they're really doing. So someone who tries to get others to act like him and to do like him, that's a Rasha Arum. Rabbi Zvika, Rav Huna, Zamek la'atzmo, u'machmir la'achirim. What's a Rasha Arum? We'll say, someone ultimately, again, who is mekel for himself, but he's machmir for everybody else. Ula Amar, so what's the definition of a Rasha Arum, a cunning Rasha, tap of chavez, shekara v'shana, someone who learned Chumash, learned Mishnah, v'lo shimish tamidi chachamim. But he never served Torah scholars. So Rashi says, what's the problem with not serving Torah scholars? Lilmot Svaras HaGemara B'Tamei HaMishnah. So we'll say, and we'll see this actually later on again, that such a person will learn Chumash and learn Mishnah. It's nice to learn Chumash, it's nice to learn Mishnah. What's the problem? From Chumash and Mishnah, you don't know what to do, right? You don't know how to live as a halachic Jew. The only way you learn how to live is from Gemara. Ultimately, again, because Gemara is where the law is decided. So if somebody learned Chumash, somebody learned Mishnah, but did not serve Talmidei Chachamim, which Rashi says means Lilmot Svaras HaGemara B'Tamei HaMishnah. Ultimately, again, but you didn't serve Talmidei Chachamim to go ahead and learn what the Mishnah means. So mahim rashu she'in torasa al bar yeh ve'in lilmot himena shai diatam yesh chiluk b'ser behet. So we'll say again. So such a person is dangerous because such a person ultimately could very easily go ahead and transmit flawed and erroneous. So we'll say just on a different level. The Marshal points this out as well, that what it's saying over here is a person could be very book smart, but in life, in order to go ahead and really understand how to be a good Jew, so a person has to have a Rebbe, a person has to have role models that they're able to emulate, people who they see take those values that we all learn about and actually implement them in life. So to just have the book smarts, you know, even the holy book smart, and not to actually have someone who you're trying to emulate, not to have a role model, ultimately, again, leads a person down the wrong path. I will say, by the way, you've seen all of these cases, well, not everyone, but in many of these cases, the definition of a Rasha arm, of a cunning Rasha, is not someone who's doing something illegal. Right? If you notice, again, in a lot of these cases, there's no illegal activity happening over here. What is happening? There's an exploiting of the law, meaning that a person who takes halacha, person who takes concepts, and dafka twists it in a way to serve their own needs, that's what Chazal say call a Rasha Arum. If somebody sins, they're called a Chote. Someone sins very badly, they might be called a Rasha, but someone takes halacha and twists it to advance their own agenda, to advance their own ideas, that's a Rasha Arum. That's already a little bit of a cunning Rasha. The Gemara goes weiter. Good morning, Mr. Shomfo. So the Gemara says, Itmar, Kara v'sharav aloshim yishamidi chachamim. We'll say, so now the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, if a person learned Chumash, and a person learned Mishnah, but did not serve Talmidei Chachamim, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Hareza Am Haaretz. Such a person like that is an Am Haaretz. That's not being used as a derogatory term. It's saying that we assume that person does not really know what to do in their Judaic life. Because if you learn Gemara, that's great. You learn Mishnah, that's great. But if you haven't learned Gemara, right? We will say, so again, see, for us this sounds strange because often we find Gemara to be absolutely confusing because we don't know what the bottom line is. But it wasn't because, again, for us, we think bottom line, you go to Shulchan Aruch. That's true. But before Shulchan Aruch, again, remember, halacha was learned from the Gemara, from all these different conversations. There might have been machloksim as to what the conclusion was. So therefore, somebody who doesn't learn Gemara, someone who doesn't learn halacha, is an Am Haaretz. Now, Rashi says over here, Rashi points out, this is not, we're not calling people names. This actually is a reality. Shechashud ala maisos v'alataros. You have to be careful that a person like this is not tithing properly and that they're not maintaining ritual purity with their food. We'll say the idea over here is that if a person is not learning Gemara, halacha, we don't automatically assume that a person knows how to conduct themselves in the right way. On the other hand, Rabbi Shlomo Nachmani Amar Harei Zabur. Such a person is a boor. Literally a boor. So Rashi says over here, boor garua me am haaretz. This is even a step down from am haaretz. Rabbi Yanai omer harei ze kusi. Rabbi Yanai says such a person is treated like a kusi. I'm saying, now understand, we're not making statements about the quality of this person's character. We're making statements about their observance of halacha. So Rabbi Yanai says, you have to treat this person like a kusi. Rashi says, v'asr le'echol pito v'yeno. You shouldn't eat his bread, you shouldn't drink his wine. D'cha'ivan shaloshimish t'chachamim, eno makbid al divrei chachamim le'datam, v'lo shana al laharos asmo kitam t'chacham. There's a concern. If a person doesn't know halacha, so how can you trust their standards? Very nice, a person knows Chumash. Very nice, a person knows Mishnah. Wonderful start, but a person doesn't know halacha l'maisa. So how can you trust anything that they're doing? Rav Acher bar Yaakov Amar Hareze Magush. Such a person, Magush literally is a sorcerer. Rashi says, Magush, Nechashef ha'ochiz esayinayim, v'gonev eshalavavos v'avzekin. So Rav Acher bar Yaakov already attributes more sinister motivations. The person who's only learning Chumash, only learning Mishnah, to present themselves ultimately as a Tam Chach and being able to weigh in on things in a partial manner, but doesn't really know halacha, such a person is actually dangerous. Amar Rav Acher bar Yitzchak, Mistaba ki Rav Acher bar Yaakov. It appears to me, it appears that the statement of Rav Acher bar Yaakov, that such a person is like a Magush, such a person is like a sorcerer, seems to be clearest. Why? the Amri Inshi Ratin Migusha Velo Yadin My Amr. Because you know what happens with a sorcerer? Sometimes a sorcerer will say stuff and people don't know what he's saying, don't understand what he's saying. And sometimes the sorcerer doesn't even understand what he's saying. The sorcerer has certain charms, the sorcerer has certain spells. He doesn't know what they mean, he just knows that they work. Sometimes a person who has a little bit of knowledge and is able to share a bit of knowledge, and say a little bit of information, a little bit of knowledge could be dangerous. They share a little bit of information, they're saying things, but they don't really understand the deeper meaning of what it is that they're saying. Tani Tana, so too over here by our conversation. V'lo yada my amar. Look at Rashi. Tani Tana, v'avze Tana, shaloshimesh betamud, shona mishnasa v'niyodya mahi. So too a person, ultimately, again, who learned Chumash, who learned Mishnah, but never learned Gemara, and does not understand the deeper meaning, does not understand the halacha, so too for such an individual, again, they say things, but don't understand what it is that they are saying. So the Gemara goes weiter. Tan Rabbanon, Ezu Ama Aretz. Both say, what is the definition of an Ama Aretz? An Ama Aretz is someone who is ignorant. What's the definition of a person who is ignorant? What's the definition of ignorance? Kol She'eno Kore, Kriyashma Shachris Va'arvis Babircho, Sadi Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, someone who doesn't say Shema in the morning and in the evening, along with the brachos, Rabbi Meir says, such a person is an Ama Aretz. Rashi says over here, Kol Sheinu Kori Kriyashma. So first of all, Rashi says, Ezu Ama Aretz, Shenechshad Ala Taras Vala Masos, Umuchsok Mago Tame. So we're trying to figure out, meaning, what's like the basic level of knowledge or the basic level of observance that we assume that a person is holding in Judaism. So it's interesting, Rabbi Meir says, we just want to know that a person says Shema in the morning and in the evening. Right? It's an interesting idea. Why? What's the logic there? Logic is a person saying Shema, which means they're being Mekabel Ol Machushayim, they're accepting the yoke of heaven in the morning and in the evening. That's a good indication that a person ultimately, again, is holding, is vested in their Judaism. Rashi says, Kol Shein HaKorei, Davade In Yodea Klum, Ava Yodea Likros V'Korei Lo Ama Aretz. Now Rashi points out over here, this is not necessarily someone who does say Shema, this is just someone who what? Knows how to say Shema, or doesn't know how to say Shema, I should say. The definition of an Ama Aretz is someone who doesn't even know how to say Shema. As long as you know how to say Shema in the morning and the evening, Rabbi Meir says, you're not an Ama Aretz. The Acham, the Chum say, no, it's Kol Shein Maniach Tefillin. Any person who does not put on tefillin, so the Chachamim say, again, is an Ama Aretz. They're both saying, remember, understand, this discussion the Gemara is just talking about is for certain reliance in areas of halacha. So can you believe that a person tithed their produce? Can you believe that a person is careful with ritual purity and impurity? So what is the most basic religious threshold that a person has to pass over in order to be vested with what we'll call halachic believability or halachic reliance? Remember, let's always be clear, we're chas v'shalom not commenting on the quality of a person. A Jew could be a very holy individual and be a wonderful person, even if they do nothing, if they don't know anything. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about, again, how am I able to rely on someone halachically? So I can't rely on them if they are deemed an Ama Aretz. So what is the definition of an Ama Aretz? So opinion number one, do they have the ability to say Shema? Opinion number two, do they put on tefillin? Benazai Omer, Kol She'in Lo Tzitzis B'Bigdo. Benazai says, anyone who doesn't have tzitzis on his clothing, ultimately, it's called an Ama Aretz. Rabbi Yonasan by Yosef Omer, Kol Sheyesh Lo Banim Ve'eno Megadlin Lilmot Torah. This is an interesting idea. What's the definition of an Ama Aretz? Anyone who raises his children and does not raise them to learn Torah. Rabbi said, I want to be clear. This doesn't mean a person who doesn't raise his kids to be in Kolel, right? This means that a person who doesn't raise his children with the fact that Torah is a priority, right? Again, I will say, you know, as I mentioned yesterday, we said this in Orchah, we said this in the Shir, and this is an incredible yisod. Parents often, whether we realize this, we do it consciously or subconsciously, hopefully we do it consciously, we convey to our children a set of values. And that value is, again, like everything else in life, is a pyramid. And as a parent, I have to ask myself, when I give over my values to my children, what is on the top of that pyramid? If my child were to ask me the question, Mom, Dad, what is the most important thing in life? If I were to ask you that question, which halavai, we should be zochar, our children should ask us that question, what would we answer? What would you answer? Both sides. So whatever your answer to that question is, that is the core value you're trying to give over to your children. So here, the Rav Yonasan Bar Yosef says, Halavai, our answer should be what I want you to say. And again, it's not be a good person. That's bland and not really vague. It's very vague. Right? Ideally, what the Jew says is, I want you to ultimately be a true Oved Hashem. I want you to be a true servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now that manifests itself in many different ways. Doesn't mean you're going to be a rabbi or a rebbe or anything else. You can be a doctor, a lawyer, an accountant. You can do whatever you want in life. But that your singular goal is to be a good servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it means to be begadlan lilmot Torah. And that our children always realize that the most important thing in life is Torah. There is nothing more important in this world than Torah. Not even family, not even... Torah is the most important thing. That's that Rabbi Yonah... Now again, Torah means... Okay, I can't go on any tangents today. But remember, Torah doesn't just mean this, what we're doing. Torah is a way of life. Torah is a way we conduct ourselves. Torah is a whole system of behaviors. So Rabbi Yonasan says, if I don't give over that value to my children, that's the Ama Aretz. An incredible yisod. Achirim omrim afilu kora v'shonav loshim yishamidhi chum zil Ama Aretz. The Achirim say that even if a person learned Chumash, learned Mishnah, but again did not serve Talmidei Chachamim, this is an Ama Aretz. We'll say, so this goes back to the twofold on that we had before. So Rashi says again, not to serve Talmidei Chachamim means that I know Chumash, I know Mishnah, but I don't know Halach, and I don't know the deeper meaning of things. That's an Ama Aretz. Second possibility is that, remember, I don't have proper role, I don't have a Rebbe, I don't have my role models in life. Karav Elo Shana, Harei Zebor. If a person went ahead and learned Chumash, but did not learn Mishnah, so this person is a boor. Lo kara v'lo shana. If a person didn't learn Chumash, didn't learn Mishnah at all. Alav hakasav omer v'zarati es beis Yisrav es beis Yehuda zera adam v'zera behema. Well, so essentially the Gemara says, if a person doesn't have any Torah, then at the end of the day, what's the difference between them and between an animal? I was supposed to say, what the Gemara is not, we're not passing judgment on people. What the Gemara is just saying from a qualitative perspective, if a person doesn't have Torah in their life, then what does a person have? So the Gemara goes weiter. Gemara over here quotes the pasuk from Mishlei, Yira as Hashem bini v'melech. So the Gemara says over here, literally, fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my son, and fear the king. V'im shonim al tis'arev. And literally, again, v'im shonim, with those who deviate, do not go ahead and associate with them. Amra b'Yitzchak, what does this refer to? Eile sheshonim halachos. This refers to people who learn halachas. So we'll say, what does this mean? Sheshonim halachas. Rashi says, Shloshim shulot ha'amidei chacham v'lok pidu atamei ha'mishnayis. These are people who just learn mishnayis. Shonei halachas means just learn mishnayis. But again, do not spend time with talmidei chachamim to learn the deeper meaning of things. So here the Gemara is literally saying, don't go ahead and hang out with people like this. So we'll say, we understand this unfortunately is the reality of the world that we live in. People who have a little bit of information and choose not to research matters properly and look at the full depth and breadth of halacha, they could come to all kinds of erroneous conclusions that could be catastrophic. So the Gemara is saying over here is, if you see people like this, they might be very well-intentioned people, don't associate with them because you're going to get yourself into trouble. So the Gemara says, Pshita. So this is obvious. No ma'od, the more I've thought, shonen b'chait. Here's what's interesting. The Gemara is darshaning that phrase, v'im shonim al tis'arav, with shonim. So we'll say shonim, the Gemara is darshaning to mean, you know, we often think about hanging out with the wrong people. So don't hang out with those guys who just learn Mishnayos. Right? Halavai, that should be our peer issues, right? Don't hang out with those guys who just learn Mishnayos. But again, the Gemara is saying it's a very serious thing because the people are drawing their Judaic conclusions from what they see in the Pasuk in Chumash, what they see in the Pasuk in what they see in the Mishnah, but are not talking to the Amidei Chachamim, are not learning Gemara, not learning Halacha. It's dangerous. So v'im shonim, those who just learn Mishnayos, al tis arav, do not mix with them. So the Gemara says, that's obvious. So the Gemara says, no, ma'od him, what I've thought, shonim b'chait. I might have thought that the lashon of shonim doesn't refer to people who learn Mishnah. Rather, it means to who? To habitual sinners. To people ultimately who sin over and over. Kidrafuna. Dam Rav Hunabah says, this is perhaps one of the most profound Gemaras. Kevan sha'aver adam aveira v'shanabah. Rav says, when a person violates an aveira and he repeats it, Hutralo, it becomes permitted to him. Now, remember the Gemara also, we saw this in Yuma, we saw this in Rosh Hashanah, that incredible psychology of sin. The first time I do something wrong, I'm bothered by it incredibly. But once I go ahead and I repeat the negative behavior, what happens? The Gemara says, Hutralo, becomes permitted to me. So remember, the Gemara says, Hutralo sakadaitcha? Does it really mean it becomes permitted? What does the Gemara answer? Elena'aselo keheter. An incredible, dangerous psychology of sin. That sometimes those things that we know start out as bad, wrong, sometimes when they become regular behaviors, over time, not only are they not only do I not feel the pain or the shame associated with it, but it actually becomes in my eyes like a permitted act. Therefore, I would have thought that the imshonim al tisara refers to a habitual sinner, kamash malano, that it refers to those who learn Mishnah. Tana, hatanoim evali olam. Well, as I listen to this, we learned that the tanoim again are those who learn Mishnah, destroy the world. So Mavali Olam Sakadaitcha, really, I mean, it seems a bit harsh that those who learn Mishnah are the ones who destroy the world. Amar Ravina, Shemorin Halacha Mitoch Mishnah. So no, what it means is that people who go out and paskin halacha or come to halachic conclusions based on what they see in the Mishnah without understanding the greater depth of the particular matter which they are engaged, yes, have the ability to destroy the world with erroneous rulings. Tayin HaMe'achar writes that supports this. Amar Yeshua, V'chi Mavali Olam Hein. Are they really people who destroy the world? But in reality, they're contributing to the yishuv olam, to the settlement of the world. Shenemar, halichas olam lo. We will say ultimately again, we go ahead and we say halichas olam lo. We dash in that halachas olam lo. That ultimately, again, a person who dashes halacha ultimately helps for the stability of the world. Ella shemor and halacha mitoch mishnasan. Rather, the concern over here again is people who paskin halacha come to Judaic conclusions based on a Mishnah. Look at Rashi. Shemor and halacha mitoch mishnasan. Ka'amr shemavalin ha'olam. These people destroy the world. Bahoraos tos, because they issue mistaken rulings. Dechevan de'in yodin ta'amei ha'mishnah, because they don't really understand the deeper meaning of the Mishnah. Pamim gormen shemendamalem darvashen odome. Vald yesh mishnayas harbe darminan ha'mani ploni yivichidahi. V'las hilchasak havasei. We'll say, you understand there are many Mishnayos out there that, first of all, the Mishnah doesn't always give me the bottom line. Also, sometimes Mishnayos reflect individual views, and those individual views may not actually be considered in the final formulation of halacha. Therefore, a person who goes in issues rulings based on the Mishnah, the Gemara says he has the potential to undermine the entire halachic system. And that's why, again, Chazal had very strong words for him. Isha Prusha. So, we'll say, remember, again, the Mishnah said, this is Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua was the one who said that a chassid shote rasha arum, isha prusha, an ascetic woman, and makos prushin, we'll see ascetic lashes, hara'ilu mevali olam. These are people who ultimately destroy the world. So what does it mean, ascetic woman? Isha prusha, tanrabanon, besula tzilionis, va'amana shovavis. We'll say, literally, a basula means a young woman, an unmarried woman who davens often, or a amana, a widow, who is always by her neighbors. The katan shelo kalu lo chadashav, and literally a katan means a child, whose months are not complete. We'll define what all of these mean in just a moment. Hari elu mevali olam. These are people, ultimately, again, who are responsible for the destruction of the world. So what does this mean? So the Gemara says, "Ini v'hamar b'yochanan lamadnu yirascheit mi besula." Beit Rabbi Yochanan said, "We learn the concept of yirascheit." Right? It's also amazing. And this is also Shem learning yirascheit. So we learn the concept of yirascheit from a besula, from a young woman. V'kibul schar mi almana. And we learn the concept of schar, of reward, from an almana. What does this mean? Yirascheit mi besula. What does it mean? We learn the fear of sin from a besula. But so listen to how beautiful this is. Rabbi Yochanan shamalahi besula dinafla apav kamra. Rabbi Yochanan once overheard a young girl, a young woman, Basula means a young woman who's of marriageable age. So he heard her, literally, Nafla alapa means she fell on her face, meaning she was prostrating and davening, and she was saying the following, Ribono shalolam, barasa gan eden, barasa gehenam, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you created gan eden, you created gehenam, barasa tzadikim, barasa rishayim, you created righteous people, you created wicked people, yiratzam lefanecha shalo yikashlu bi bnei adam. May it be well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that no man should stumble over me. Now, what does that mean, Abba say? So apparently, she was a very beautiful girl. And so she realized that ultimately, again, her beauty could arouse improper thoughts in men. So she davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's incredible. She davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that she should not be a stumbling block for men. Abba say, now obviously you understand, The truth is, it's not a woman's obligation not to be a stumbling block for men. It's a man's obligation to be able to control it. But again, she did not want to be the cause. She did not want to be the cause of anyone else's improper thoughts or anyone else's spiritual decline. So the Gemara says, you see, this was an example that Chazal often used as an incredible sense of piety. Here, she wasn't only concerned with her own actions, but she was concerned with just her impact on others. Kibul schar me almono. Where do we see again the notion of receiving reward from an almono? Dahi almono, dahavai beknishta b'sheilusa. There was a woman who had a shul in her own neighborhood. But yet, despite that, kol yoma, Havas Asya Umasla Bay Midrasha. But every day she would walk past the shul in her neighborhood to go to another Beis Medrash. I'm saying, now that's not surprising, right? That's Ma'asim B'chol Yom. Right? The idea over here is that so she walked, now what the Gemara is pointing out over here is she passed by a shul in order to go to a Beis Medrash. See, remember again, in the times of the Gemara, those two places were very distinct. The Beis Medrash was where you learned. The Beis HaKnesses was where you daven. The only people normally who maybe davened the Beis Medrash were people who did not ever leave the Beis Medrash. So the notion that she passed by the shul in her neighborhood to go to daven in the Beis Medrash was strange. So what happens? Amar La, she went to daven the Beis Medrash, Rabbi Yochanan. Amar La, Biti, Lo Beis Knesses B'Shiyuseich. So Rabbi Yochanan saw her, and he said to her, tell me why, Biti, he calls her a term of my daughter, why are you walking all this way? There's a shul in your neighborhood, why don't you go there? Amrale Rebbe, velo schar psios leishli. She said, Rebbe, don't I get schar psios, don't I get schar for every step I take to the Beis Medrash? So you see from here that she was so eager to acquire additional zechuyos. She didn't go because she didn't like the shul or because of this. She went because, again, she felt that she would get additional schar, additional reward, ultimately for walking further distance to the Beis Medrash. To which the Gemara says, so the point is the kasha, because the Gemara is making it sound again that the situation that the Besula who davens too much, or the Amana who's always at other people's homes, these are unvirtuous women, but yet we see from here that these were virtuous women, to which the Gemara says, no, kigon, Yochani Bas Retivi. When we speak about, again, an unvirtuous woman, so we're talking about someone like Yochani Bas Retivi. What happened to Yochani Bas Retivi? Look at Rashi for just a moment. This is actually amazing. It's the first white line in Rashi. So Rashi says, Kigon Yochani Bas Retivi, Amana Machashefa Haisa. She was an Amana, and she was a Machashefa. Not a mother-in-law, right? Right. The idea over here. So Machashefa means literally a sorceress. A sorceress. So listen to this. This is amazing. Ukishamagia ace leidas isha. When she would go ahead and when it was time for, she was a midwife. Well, actually, she wasn't a midwife. We'll see. When a one particular woman was giving birth, hais otzeres rachma b'machashefos. She cast some kind of spell that prevented the woman from giving birth. And when the woman was in terrible agony and pain, so what would Yochani say? Yochani would go and visit her. She said, don't worry, I'm going home right now to daven on your behalf. So what happens? She would go home and she would release the spell and the woman would give birth. So what happened? Everyone thought that this woman, Yochani, was so pious. She'd go home, she'd dive the woman, give birth, amazing. Pam achas, hayala schir yom bevesa, vihi halcha lebeis isha yoledes, v'shama asachir kolak sham miskashkesh mikli, kimo shavlad mikashkesh b'maya aim. So what happens? One time there was a worker in the house who saw what Yochani was doing. And he heard literally whatever the spell was in a jar and it was rattling around. So what happened? Upasach es magufa sakli vakshafim yatu vavad nolor viadu kibalas kshafimi. And this worker went ahead and opened up the vessel, released the spirits, whatever it was, and the woman gave birth. So they saw that although she put on this display of piety, she really lacked true virtue. Ma katan shlokalu chadashav. What's the definition of a katan? Again, a katan whose months are not full. Hacha targimo, this refers to zat hamtchachem hamavayit brabosav. What does it mean, a katan who is not fully matured, who doesn't have all of his months? This refers to a talmid chacham who literally rebels against his teachers. That a talmid chacham, Rabosai, has to have the humility to know that as much as he may know, his teachers know more than him. So someone ultimately, again, rebels against his teachers while he's still young, is like an underdeveloped child. Rabbi Abba Omar Zet talmid chacham shlo igia lehora'a umora. Rabbi Abba says, this refers to a talmid chacham who doesn't have the ability to paskin. He's not yet at the stage of paskin halacha, but he paskins anyway. Dom Rabbi Abba Omar Rabbi Rabbeinu Amar Rav, Mai Dichsiv Ki Rabim Chalolim Hipila Va'atsumim Kol Harugel. What does it mean when it says that literally he Rabim Chalolim Hipila? He has felled many people. He's killed many people. V'atsumim Kol Harugel. And ultimately, again, she was able to kill the strong ones. What does this mean? Ki Rabim Chalolim Hipila. What does it mean? Someone who has killed many people. It's a very strong statement. So a Talmud Chacham who does not have the capacity to paskin, but does paskin, it's like he's killed many people with his erroneous rulings. But ultimately, again, the strong ones were killed. This refers to Zet Talmud Chacham Shegiolora Veinomora. What is amazing, right? There's dual culpability. If you don't have the ability to paskin, you do paskin, you're responsible for all of your errors. But if you do have the ability to paskin and you don't, you're held responsible for withholding your skills from Klal Yisrael. Ad kamo, how old should a person be before he paskins halacha? Ad arba'in shnin, 40 years old. So the Gemara says, Ini, is that so? V'ha Rabba Ori, but yeah, but Rabba paskin halacha when he was much younger. Because we'll say Rabba died at the age of 40. So he was already paskin halacha from much earlier. So how is he able to do that? To which the Gemara answers, Bishavin. Rashi says, Bishavin, Ishava legodl ha'ir b'chachma mutter lahoros, o she'in zakeh min abir. So we'll say, if a person is exceptional, and even if they're young, their wisdom rivals older people, then they can paskin halacha. Or if they are the only halachic authority in their particular locale. So again, either if you're exceptionally smart, or you're the only guy. So in those circumstances, again, you can paskin halacha even if you're younger. Umakos prushin. So we'll say, so what does this mean? Again, literally, lashes of Prushin. These are also considered to be false displays of piety. So the Gemara says, listen to this, well, this is amazing. Tana Rabbanan, Shiva Prushin Hain. We'll say, a Parush is an ascetic. Literally, someone who's separate. So there are seven different types of ascetics. Parush Shechemi. So one is a Shechemite Parush. Parush Nikvi. Parush Kizer, we're going to define all of these ones just a little bit. Parush Medochio, so we can Parush Machova Sivesena. Parush Me'ava, Parush Me'ira. Okay, so I must say, so again, Parush Machova Sivesena. So an ascetic who says, tell me what my obligation is and I'll do it. Or somebody who's an ascetic out of love, ascetic out of fear. So let's explain all of these. Parush Shechami, we both say, what is a Shechemite Parush? Ze'ose ma'ase Shechem. This is someone ultimately, again, who does like what they did in Shechem. Now, what did they do in Shechem? Rashi says, ma'ase Shechem, Shemalu Shlodu Shem Shemayim, Avze ma'ase Avlahana, Asur Sheikh Abdu Bene Adam Velodu Shem Shemayim. Well, says, what did they do in Shechem? Remember, when Shechem ben Hamor abducted and raped Dina, so in order to allow him to marry Dina, continue to live with Dina, and for them to marry the daughters of Yaakov, they circumcised themselves. They didn't circumcise themselves out of any higher calling, rather just to find favor in the eyes of others. So a Shechemite Parush is someone who does things not because they believe in them and not because they want them or not to come closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu, but rather what? To simply find covet in the eyes of others. That's a Shechemite ascetic. Parush Nakvi. We'll say, what's a Nakvi ascetic? Zeha Menakev Esraglov. Both say this is someone ultimately who, when he walks, drags his feet. So what happens when you walk? What does it look like? It's a false display of humility. That a person, look, they're so humble, they mamash walk, like they're shuffling around. So a person who does that in order that people will call him humble, that's called, again, that's called a parush nakfi, that's called the nakfi ascetic. What's a parush kizoi? So Rashi Sigmar says, Amrav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Zamakiz Dam Liksalim. This ultimately, again, is someone who bleeds because he bumps into walls. I will say, now what does that mean? That's someone ultimately, again, who walks around with his eyes closed. Why does he walk with his eyes closed? Because he doesn't want to see anything inappropriate. Rabbi, so you have to understand something. The beautiful part of the Torah is Derachah Darchei Noam. The ways of the Torah are pleasant, which means if there's one thing that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants of us, he wants us to be normal. Now again, obviously that's a very subjective term. But the idea over here is, so the guy who says, I walk around with my eyes closed and look, Vaharaya, look, I have the scars to prove it. I'm pashat like bleeding head to toe because I'm bumping into every stop sign and every single wall, but at least I didn't see anything inappropriate. So the Gemara says, that is a foolish ascetic. Such a kizoy is lashon from hakaza of letting blood. So someone who goes ahead and walk and is bleeding because he bumped into walls because he won't look at anything. Ultimately, again, that's a foolish ascetic. Parish miduchya. I will say, what does it mean, a parish miduchya? Amar Rabba Bar Shila, dimishafa
Someone walks around bent over like a pestle. Bent over like a pestle. The idea is, we'll say, now again, obviously, if a person is truly humble, they're truly humble. These are examples of people who do things to make themselves look like they're prushim, look like they're more ascetic, but they're not genuine. They're just doing this in order to curry favor in the eyes of others. Parush machal vasi v'esena. But says, listen to this parush. This ascetic says, is the kind of person who says, tell me what I need to do and I'll do it. So the Gemara says, what's wrong with this guy? Hamal Yossi, Bosse, that sounds like such a beautiful statement. The person says, you know what? I recognize, I don't know all of halacha, but you know what? If you tell me what to do, I'll do it. So what's wrong with this? No. El de Amar, Macho Vasi, Vesu'a Asena. Otherwise, Bosse, essentially what he's saying over here is what? He's saying, tell me, is there anything else I need to do? Because if there is, I'll certainly do it. So what's inferred from his statement is he feels that he's doing everything he needs to do already. So he's making a statement. Is there anything left that I have not done? Because certainly if there's anything more, of course I'll do it. So such a person, again, is a balgaiva and assuming that they've satisfied all their religious obligations. Parash me'ava, parash me'ira. You must say, what does this mean again if a person is an ascetic from love or is an ascetic from fear? Amrli Abai v'Rava Latana Lo Tisni Parash Mi'ava Parash Mi'ira. So it says Abai and Rava said to the author of the Mishnah, do not include these two forms, these two states of Parash Mi'ava Parash Mi'ira in the list over here. Dam Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Li'ola Mi'asok Adam B'Torah Mitzvos Afilu Shelo Lishma. Rabbi say a person should go ahead and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, learn Torah, do mitzvos, even Shelo Lishma. Even not for the right, even for the not the right purposes. Shemitok shalo lishma balishma. Because we'll say if you start out even for the wrong purposes, ultimately you will come to go ahead and do so for the right purposes. Now, we'll say, now take a look at Rashi just a moment. Therefore, what's parish me'ava? Me'avas schar ha-mitzvos v'lo li'avas mitzvos habore. So we'll say parish me'ava is someone who does his mitzvos because he loves reward. He wants reward in this world. He wants reward in the next world. What's mi'ira? Rashi says, shal onshin. He avoids negative things in order to avoid punishment. He says, "Elamala adam lasas me'avashem isbarach hashetzion." So at first glance, the Gemara says we include these two individuals in the list of inappropriate displays of piety because it's not appropriate to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu for reward, and it's not appropriate to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu for fear of punishment. I'm supposed to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of a love for the Ribono Sha'olam. But interestingly enough, Rav Abai and Rava says, no, remove these two from the list. As much as these are not great states, Parish Me'ava, Parish Me'ira, they're not bad. Why are they not bad? Because if what gets me started on the pathway of Judaic service is reward, or is the ability to escape punishment, that's a good start. It's not where I want to end up, but it's a great start. Why? Because mitok shalo lishma, bo lishma. I'll say, sometimes if you start out, even with not the best intentions, you'll end up in the right place. I'll say, let's just go a little bit weiter. Aronach Rabbi Yitzchak, de mit mira, Udimegalya megalya. So I'll say, that which is hidden remains hidden, and that which is revealed is revealed. And those are both saying, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak is saying, in this world, there are things, whatever I choose to reveal to others, that's what will be revealed. But whatever I choose to hide from others, that's what remains hidden. However, Beidina Rabbah, Lispera mehani dechafu gundi. But Rabbi say, ultimately, again, the Beis Din HaGadol, meaning the Beis Din Shamala Kodesh Baruch Hu, he will extract retribution literally from those who wrap themselves in their talis. Hazal say, what does that mean? That in this world, it is easy to project an image of piety, even if one is not truly pious. But in the Olam HaEmes, in the world to come, ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will exact punishment from those who ultimately put on a pious show, but at the end of the day are not chas v'shalom pious. Amar li Yanai Malkal Dvisu. This is amazing. This will really end. I promise. Amar li Yanai Malkal Dvisu. So Yanai, the king, said to his son, Yanai was a very, very, very bad man. Yanai was one of the Chashmonai kings. Yanai killed out virtually the entire Sanhedrin. So what happens? Yanai is dying. And he's saying to his wife, don't be afraid, because his wife is afraid that the Rabbanim are not going to let her sons become kings. So listen to what Yanai says. It's an amazing idea. Yanai says to his wife, Atisrei min haprushin, velo mimi she'inan prushin. So Yanai says to his wife, don't be afraid of the Prushin. The Prushin were the Rabbanon, right? Literally means people who are separate. It doesn't mean ascetic in this situation. It means someone literally who divorces himself, who removes himself from the negative influences in this world. Don't be afraid of the Rabbanim, and don't be afraid of the people who are the Rishayim, Right? So don't be afraid of the rabbis. Don't be afraid of the people who are not loyal to Torah. Why not? So the Gemara, Rashi explains, because the Prushim, the Rabbanim, will not hold a grudge against our sons for what I did. And the people who are not the Prushim, the Rishayim, they're my buddies anyway. Right? So my buddies are going to support me and my kids. The Rabbanim will not hold the grudge against our children. Ela minat sivuin. But rather, you have to go ahead and be careful from the colored ones. Well, so what are the colored ones? Shedomin leprushin, shemaasim kemaasa zimri, o mevakshin schar kapinchas. You know, you have to be careful from the people who are disingenuous. The people who look like prushim, but they're not prushim. Look how he describes them. These people, their actions are like Zimri. Rabbos, remember who was Zimri? Zimri was the Nasi who engaged in the immorality with Cosby, engaged in public immorality. Their actions are depraved, but yet they want schar like Pinchas. Right? Their actions are depraved, but they look like Pinchas. So Yanai the Rasha says to his wife, in life, you don't have to worry about the pious people because they're genuine. Well, say you don't even have to worry about the Rishayim, because interestingly enough, often the Rishayim are genuine also. They're just genuine Rishayim. Who do you have to be fearful of in life? You have to be fearful of the people who are really Rishayim, but they look like Tzadikim. Those are the people ultimately, again, who sometimes could cause us the greatest amount of tsar. But Rabbi say ultimately, again, I don't want to end on this note, right? But you see, again, what comes out from this Gemara, important from this entire sugya, is that what the Ribbono Shel Olam never expects, God never expects perfection. That's never what he asks of us. What he really asks of us is to be genuine people. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't stand more than anything is when we are not genuine. So if I have faults, acknowledge my faults. I mean, you don't have to acknowledge my faults. You acknowledge your own faults. I mean, people acknowledge my faults all the time. We should acknowledge our own faults, own our own mistakes, acknowledge what we do well, and make every effort to become better people. We'll stop over here. We'll pick up Emir Tashem with the Mishnah tomorrow. You, no, I don't know.